And each of the presenters will have 10 minutes. We're going to have, at the end, a number of questions and discussions on how we can use all our experience to draft a resolution for APHA to send to Congress on the issues of aid effectiveness and accountability. So, this is... The objectives of this panel is to identify principles of aid effectiveness and accountability, to describe how various organizations are putting the Paris Declaration to work, and discuss ideas to inform an APHA resolution to improve aid effectiveness and accountability. Just to remind you of the main principles of the Paris Declaration on aid effectiveness and accountability, the five principles are ownership, harmonization, alignment, management for results, and accountability, mutual accountability between donors and countries. And the way I remember this is because I think of the word O'Hara, so hope that helps. Why do we need to put the Paris Declaration to work? Because there's more than 200 bilateral and multilateral organizations providing overseas development assistance. And some countries have to manage more than 40 different donors, and sometimes there are countries that have 600 different active projects. And besides, in spite of all that, they're still not on track to reach the MDGs. The challenge is to organize ourselves in a way that not only improves our effectiveness and accountability, but also reduces transactional costs. The panelists are Kate Tulenko from the World Bank, who unfortunately she is now in Senegal, but sent her slides to share with you, and Elizabeth Sander, as I said, from the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, Michael Hammer from the One World Trust, came all the way from UK to share this presentation with you this morning, so we're very happy you came. And Jay Gribble from PHR, Carol Dabbs from USAID, Wendy Johnson from Health Action International, and myself, I'll be presenting the country perspective based on the work that I've learned that Papua New Guinea is doing. This is what Papua New Guinea has done. Since January, we have been working with development partners to agree on a number of activities that will advance the Paris Declaration on how development partners and countries are working together. And they agreed a number of indicators. This is just a summary of the main indicators. To advance the principle of ownership, for instance, they have agreed, the government and the development partners, that by starting this year, all activities will be aligned with the National Health Plan and with the midterm development strategy. Also, they have agreed that all 100% of development assistance will be included in next year's budget. So they will know where the money is coming from, where all the health budget is going to be, part from the government and part from the development partners, and they'll know where all the different pots of money are going to be. Also, aid coordination is going to be advanced by having an information strategy that should be in place by the year, by the end of this year. And they have also, inspired by the way the Global Fund works, they have created a coordinating mechanism that also includes the NGOs, representatives of the NGOs and the faith-based organizations, to not only have ownership at the level of the government, but also ownership at the level of civil society. In terms of alignment, for instance, they have now agreed that 85% of all development partners' assistance is going to be based on the midterm development strategy. 50% of the assistance is going to be through mutually agreed frameworks and program-based, no more projects. The government of Papua New Guinea has 10 health programs, for instance, to improve clinics, to improve HIV/AIDS, and then these are ongoing programs. So they don't want to talk about projects. They want to know how the donors are going to strengthen their 10 basic programs. 90% of the TA, the technical assistance, is going to be to strengthen institutional capacity by the year 2012. In terms of harmonization, they have agreed that there's going to be an emphasis on joint missions. You're not going to have, for instance, consultants going from here and going from there. There's going to be a lot of more anticipation on how things are going to be planned, so at least 45% of the missions are joint, and you don't have consultants from different organizations coming parachuting in the same place or different or the same province. There's also going to be consensus on who has the comparative advantage and complementarity to ensure that each donor's complement what they're doing. They're not competing, not two people doing malaria, two, three people doing HIV/AIDS, but they really complement, and one donor takes the leadership. Also, 50% of the development partners will agree on common process cycles. You don't have, for instance, one donor, one development partner saying, okay, this is when you do the budget, this is when we need your reports, and then another one does it at another time. So that what they want is that, for instance, if you need indicators, all the indicators are going to be in one report, and that report is going to go to several partners. In terms of management for results, the donors and the government of Papua New Guinea has agreed that they're going to have a results-oriented framework that is based on the midterm development strategy and the national health plan. 50%, at least, of the interventions are managed at country level. They're not going to have people sitting in Geneva, sitting in Washington, sitting in other places managing the activities. They want things to be managed at the country level where the accountability, where the accountability needs to be. They want to have an annual report on progress on the midterm development strategy and the national health plan, and they have joint annual reviews with all the development partners. They all sit around the same table and they report on their commitments. This year we committed to spend $10 million and this is what we did and this is what we achieved. In terms of mutual accountability, there's joint decision making and transparent aid commitment. They want to now they want to know how much money each donor is going to bring into the country. So the government of Papua New Guinea can then present a comprehensive health budget to the parliament. There's joint review and reporting of commitments. And if there is a question, each development partner, including the government, have 3 months to respond, for instance. Why didn't, for instance, the drugs of the HIV/AIDS for the Global Fund didn't come? Well, they have 3 months to figure out what happened and to report and to come up with a solution. So that's what a country has started. Now, let me show you what the World Bank is doing in terms. So you see what one of the development partners is doing. This is Kate Tulenko's presentation, who, as I said, she's now in Senegal. So I'm not Kate Tulenko, but I'm going to try to represent the World Bank in my best effort. The World Bank has, as you know, a relationship with the countries. They offer loans to middle-income countries, and they give grants to lower-income countries. The government implement, the governments that receive the grants or receive the soft loans, as we call them, implement projects or execute an agreed health plan, usually in the form, for instance, of a swap, and or sector-wide approach. The bank does not implement, it's the government that does that. And in the year, this year, there was a survey to monitor the Paris Declaration. And this is what they realized, that they, although progress in terms of how the Paris Declaration was being implemented by the bank and its donor recipient countries was positive, some indicators were not improving as much as they had desired. And the main challenge is that many of the donor indicators are dependent on basic accomplishments by the government. For instance, like some systems like procurement, for instance. The drugs needed to be there, but the country's procurement systems are weak and they haven't been strengthened. And that's the challenge for the next year, to look at how they can strengthen the system so the country can really fulfill their commitments. And these are some of the indicators that the World Bank is tracking. For instance, they have reduced the number of project implementation units. Now, it is the country that is implementing with their own staff. The bank is not creating their own project implementation units. Why? Because in the past, what they had is that the bank would hire people, pay them more than the government employees. And that created a parallel structure that didn't strengthen the country and that didn't help really develop the health sector. So in the past, there were 223 project implementation units, and now there are 79. They have also increased the number of joint missions from 21 to 31%. The use of country procurement systems has increased, but not, as you can see, not as much as they would have liked. And they have started to do a lot more coordinated technical cooperation, and this is an indicator that has gone considerably up, and they're very proud. These are Kate Lenka's personal reflections. She believes that there is a need to improve communication of the Paris Declaration objectives. Most countries are not aware that the Paris Declaration exists, although many have already signed it, but it hasn't gone down to the level that the ministries know about the objectives and how it's going to be operationalized. Another issue is that still the transaction costs of harmonization are pretty high, trying to harmonize the approaches. And although in the long run it's going to be more efficient to do it jointly, at this time, trying to figure out how to do that, it's still difficult. And I think the joint missions are going to improve that. It's important sometimes to remember that you should be prepared to sacrifice some quick wins for long-term capacity building and sustainable results. And countries need to lead the way. In fact, must lead the way if we're going to have ownership.